Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful things you've given us. Thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. And most importantly, Lord, thank you for giving your Son for our salvation. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. We'll get started this morning. I would be totally amiss if I didn't start talking about some of the things that's going on in the world. And what we're going to talk about is what's going to lead into what we're going to be studying today. This mess that's going on between Israel, and I don't want to even say Hamas anymore because it's not just Hamas. So we'll just say between Israel and Muslims. I'm going to cover this in two different ways here first. But first, let me say that we need to be careful. We need to be real, real careful whenever we're looking at this stuff, and we need to use discernment whenever we start looking at all this stuff. Because you can't turn on the TV anymore without somebody spewing something out about it. Whether they're right or wrong or indifferent, you know, that's why you got to have discernment. Okay? I'm not going to lie to you. This whole mess is bothering me. It's bothering me real bad, actually. And it should bother you as well. But the things that are bothering me, some of you may not have even thought about. And I'm going to read a couple of different things to you. Or point out a couple of different things to you, then I'm going to read something to you, and then we're going to roll all that over into what we're going to be studying today. Anyway, has anybody noticed, just paid any attention, that all of a sudden, all these liberals that's in Washington, D.C., that forevermore has hated Israel, is on the Israel side of it. Joe Biden, for example. the news media. The news media has never sided with Israel on anything. In its 70-year history, that is, 70-plus year history, they're ever siding with Israel. They've always taken up the other side. And all of a sudden, they're doing it. They say that they were attacked by surprise. Now, Mossad and the CIA, the two biggest intelligence organizations in the world, got caught by surprise. They didn't see all them weapons coming in there. They didn't see this coming up. I don't think so. That's just me. I don't see that. And something else that just really don't make no sense to me. Israel, somebody says they're going to do something. I mean, even if it's just a thought of somebody going to do something, Israel, that's forevermore, just went in there and bombed the living daylights out of them and got it over with. Took out the problem before it ever happened. Now, it's been almost eight days now. And for the most part, nothing's really happened. You know, there's been some skirmishes here and there, but for the most part, nothing's really happened. You know, with them going in there doing the things that they say that they're doing, chopping heads off of babies, which I'm going to get into in a minute as well, chopping heads off of babies, taking hostages, you know, taking over cities, and the Gaza Strip is still a place. I'm not saying that would be right. I'm just saying that that's, if we look at their history, that's exactly what would have happened. They would just took the whole Gaza Strip off the face of the planet. So some of these things just ain't correlating and didn't quite add enough, at least in my mind. Now, I'm not saying that none of this stuff is not happening. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they didn't chop heads off of babies. I'm not saying that the war is not happening. I'm not saying any of that. It's bringing up a lot of questions in my mind, you know, what's going on. And see, something else a lot of people don't realize, Hamas was created by the Mossad and the CIA. They were created back in... It took them a few years to do it. We actually didn't come up with the name Hamas in 1987, but the Hamas was created by Mossad, which is basically the CIA of Israel, in the 70s to fight PLO, Palestine Liberation Organization. And what PLO, they're Shias, okay? This is basically what Iran is. Part of Turkey and a couple other countries. Well, they're Shia Muslims. And then the Hamas, they're Sunni Muslims, and the Sunnis and the Shia hate each other just about as much as they hate Israel. But they don't get along at all. And so part of the PLO come Hezbollah, which is right now fighting on the northern side, coming out of Lebanon. And then you get the Sunni Muslims, which is the Hamas. They're doing it out of the Gaza Strip. And some of the other things that came out of Hamas, you know, was the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a whole mess that took place. You know, the spring uprising that happened in Egypt a few years ago. That was the Muslim Brotherhood. They're Sunni Muslims as well. But when you start putting all this stuff together in the news media, which I don't understand why they can say it, but the news media is saying that Hamas is funded by Iran. And I find that hard to believe, you know, because, again, the Sunnis, Hamas went in there because the PLO was inside the Gaza Strip. They were inside the Gaza Strip ever since Israel was formed. That's the PLO, Yasser Arafat, back years ago. And they were, again, created to get rid of the PLO and the Shias out of the Gaza Strip because they were doing all them bombings and all that stuff, you know, for years, wrecking havoc in Israel for many, many years. So they figure instead of us fighting, we're going to let them go in there and fight themselves, have this little end game that, you know, just put the Sunnis in there and let them annihilate each other and then we go on about our business. I'm sure that was their thought process. But at any rate, the Sunnis now, they kicked the PLO out, the Sunnis are in charge, and now they're going to turn tail on what we're talking about as well. Who ever would have thought that, though? Huh? But at any rate, you got that whole mess there. And again, you got Hezbollah, which is coming in out of Lebanon, and they're doing their whole mess. And something that really, really just kind of catches you off guard. Hamas, which is only in the Gaza Strip, which is only, you know, very small, actually. It's not that big, although there's like 3 million people inside that little strip. They got the 7th, 8th largest military in the world, believe it or not. So, a lot of things ain't adding up there. And then talking about, you know, the babies having their head stuffed off. Well, I'm not saying that didn't happen or didn't happen. If anybody can remember back about 30 years ago, this little thing we had called Desert Storm, Desert Shield, you know, where Iraq invaded Kuwait. If you remember, the way they got everybody involved into that whole mess was to say the babies were thrown out of incubators. And that was just a false flag that had never happened. Okay? The little girl that testified in front of Congress was the ambassador's daughter that was here. She wasn't even over there, and she was saying that she was a nurse there. Turned out she was the ambassador's daughter, so they lied just to get a whole bunch of people involved because babies or kids were involved. But again, I'm not saying that these babies haven't been killed. I don't know enough information to come out. But, you know, if you go with the past, just think about it. That's what I'm saying. Don't necessarily, because it's on the news, don't necessarily believe it. We just had one incident just here recently where people were putting all kinds of things in their body. I got to be careful how I word this because we're on YouTube. But people were putting all kinds of things in their bodies and dying from it and still are dying from it because the news media was pushing a certain thing. So just be aware. Be wise. Think about stuff. Now, let's look at this from a different perspective, outside of you, okay? Whenever you turn on your TV, if you got any of these religious channels on that, or late night, they put all that stuff on TV. Or you watch social media, Facebook, and YouTube, and all this stuff, you see all these people out there. Some of them are quoting verses saying that, you know, this is prophecy. But the prophecies that they're quoting ain't got anything to do with what that is. Absolutely nothing. And then on top of it, you got these other yahoos out there that are saying that we need to get our bags back because the rapture's at any minute because this is what's going to happen. Rapture right now. We need to get ready. Well, guess what? These same people said the rapture was just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You got to use discernment. I'm telling you, you have to use discernment. You can't believe everything that you hear. That's why it's extreme. It's vitally crucial that we study our Bible and we study what the Word of God actually says, not what some person wants to say, what it actually says, okay? And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes it does. But the truth is what like the Bible says, truth shall set you free. Okay? So, just be aware of that. And then, something else I just want to point out in this, because it is that time, and all this stuff is starting to, it really is starting to coalesce. You know, the only thing I do agree with what they're saying is it's the end, okay? And we need to be aware of some of the things that could be happening and most likely will happen. I foresee, and I'll read you something here in a minute that was written a long, long time ago that pretty much lines up what's going to happen. But it was, we need to be aware of all this stuff. You've got the vast majority of people out there that believe falsely, mind you, in a pre-tribulation rapture. These people are going to be caught by surprise. The vast majority of these people, sad to say, it says there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. Well, you can say it, but I think a good portion of these people, whenever they start getting persecuted, and whenever they start seeing people die, and whenever the Antichrist comes on the scene, and they figure out, yep, I should have actually read Revelations, and I should have read Daniel, and I should have read Isaiah, and I really shouldn't have listened to that guy that was lying to me at the pulpit. I should have been right with God. Now here I am through all this mess. And they're going to fall away because they were lied to. You know, if you want to preach the preacher of rapture, that's fine. But you also need to preach alternatives, because at best you can say, at best you can say is I think. Okay? That's the best you can say is I think. So again, hope for the best, plan for the worst. In this particular case, in my eyes, at least, planning for the worst is the best thing you can do, because I really don't see it to the crib right here. Okay. Now, one of the other things that the Bible talks about, you know, is false Christ and false prophets and all this stuff. Okay. And, on top of that, well, I'm just going to give you a list before we get into that. I'm going to give you a list of some of the names. And I'm not going to go, there's a whole myriad. But I'm going to give you a couple of names. Some of them you may have heard, some of them you may not have heard. And believe it or not, some of these actually will use Jesus, our Lord and Savior, mixed in with their false Christ. Okay? A good example of that. In Islam, they are looking forward to waiting on this guy called the Mahdi. Okay? That's what he's called, the Mahdi. Okay? Mahdi is their Savior. And when the Mahdi comes on the line, comes back, there's going to be a guy called Jesus Christ that's going to come. He's going to be their prophet, because Islam believes Christ is nothing more than a prophet. And he comes back and he's a great prophet. He's going to push for this Mahdi, saying that he's their literal savior. That's honestly what they believe. You've got this other guy from a different religion called Maitreya. Some of y'all may have heard of that, Maitreya. If you're into all this Eastern mysticism and stuff, I'm sure you've heard of Maitreya. Well, he's coming from the stars, Maitreya is. He's coming back, he's coming from the stars, and he's going to save the world, and he's going to start the calendar all over again, start back to Jesus. Okay? Coming from the stars puts two things in the mind. But Satan was a star that fell, you know? And then you got the whole alien thing. And believe it or not, there's more people that believe in aliens than there are that believe in Jesus Christ. I would think real long and hard about that one.
Okay.
And we've got this other one, and I'm going to stop with this one, of Krishna. Okay? Some of y'all, some of you older folks out there can remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, everybody walking around in airports and stuff going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and singing the real thing. Well, that's what they wait for this guy called Krishna to come back. Basically do the same thing, get my trays and do it. Set the world straight. And you bring it back. So, just keep all this stuff in mind when you think about it. The end times. It's vitally important, it's vitally crucial that you read and study. Keep studying your Bible. It's also important to at least have an idea of what all these other religions are doing. And what their thinking process is. Because like the Muslims, they truly do believe in Jesus Christ. They won't deny him for a second. They know he existed. They know he was here. They just think he was a prophet. So, and they're waiting on their Savior, the Mahdi. Okay? And there's almost... Well, I'm not even going to say almost. I'm going to say there's as many or more Muslims, although whenever you look at the statistics, statistically there's less Muslims than there are Christians, but statistically don't necessarily impact you. Because there's a lot of people out there that say they're Christians, never picked up a Bible and never walked into a church and just say so because their parents or grandparents were. Okay. So, true Christians, I'd say there's a lot less than there are Muslims. And I will say this as well. While we may not agree with the Muslim faith, they do have one thing that we really, really, really need to get into. And that is the fact that they pray multiple times a day. They take no crap from anybody whenever they talk about God. That's truly the way we need to be as well. You can talk about the Muslims all you want, but as far as their faith goes, whether it be wrong or not, they do have true faith and they follow their faith thoroughly. That in and of itself is a good thing. It's just for the wrong purpose. So, I want to read something to you real quick. I'm going to say this was written many years ago, about 130 years ago to be exact. I want you to think about this while I'm reading. This is talking about the last war, or the one that's coming up. We all know it's the last war, one that's coming up. But what this guy said, and I'll tell you who it was after I read it, because some of you probably heard of it. It says, war must be tormented by taking advantages of the differences caused by the adjective of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and the political Zionists, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Yet everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those historians of the civilization and the multitude, delusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an idea, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both and exterminated at the same time. Now think about this. Think about this. And it's obvious, based off of what you just heard there, that the guy that wrote this was a Luciferian. Okay? He was a Satan worshiper. Not only was he a Satan worshiper, but at the time, he was one of the most powerful men on the planet. Okay? Some of you may have heard of his name. Some of you may not have. That was Albert Pike. He was basically in charge of Freemasons back then. He was in charge of Freemasons for like 40 years, back in the 1800s. And that was written in 1871. It was written. And he also wrote this thing called Morals and Dogma, which was a big thing that all the Masons had to read. Well, not the, the entry-level Masons, just the ones that went on up at the he was a 33rd degree Mason in charge of the Scottish Rite part of it, and I'm not going to get into all that, but it's just something to think about. It's something that you also need to be aware of. And because of who he was, and because of so many of the world leaders fall into that little cult over there, you also also need to understand that those are like marching orders. He also wrote in that same letter that he did not pull that from. He also told very explicitly how World War I was going to happen and how World War II was going to happen. And they literally followed lockstep before he wrote. And again, it was written in 1871, many, many years before World War I and World War II. But like I said, both of those followed lockstep. And being as who he was and how people thought of in the hierarchy up there, these people are following lockstep. So just something to think about, particularly in light of what's going on in the world right now. So what I want to talk about today is, you've got all these pre-tribbers out there, which for the most part are dispensationalists. And for the most part, they want to separate us Christians from Israel. And what I'm going to do today is kind of show where that's not the case. Okay. Romans 11 tells us very plainly that we were grafted in. Okay. We were grafted into the olive tree. And I'm not going to go over Romans 11. Because I know the pastor in the last 6 months has read Romans at least twice. Okay. So I'm not going to go over Romans 11. What we're going to read from is Isaiah, which is actually where Romans 11 came from. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 65. And this is the roots, basically, for Romans 11. This is where he gets his thought process from. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. and sacrifice in the gardens and burn incense upon the altars of brick. If your name among the graves lodge in the monuments which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Will say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into the bosom. Your iniquity and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense unto the mountains and blasphemed upon me, blaspheme me upon the hills, therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for the blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judea, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord. They forget the holy mountain, that prepare a table for the truth, and the furnace that drink offering unto that number. Therefore I will number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called ye did not answer, when I spake ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delight not. Therefore saith the Lord, behold, my servant shall eat that shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink that ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of the heart, but ye shall cry sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto the children. For the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. That he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless him in God of truth, and that he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But ye be glad, and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing in her a people of joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and the joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more offense, an infant of old age, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall not die in 100 years, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build, and another inhabitant and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of the people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. It shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. And that, in and of itself, my friends, is what it's all about. And what that is basically saying, I'm this morning because it started getting a little late. I'll give you a Cliff's Notes version of what that's basically saying. It's just saying that we are the ones that are grafted in. We are the ones that are now the elect, the people of Israel, the ones that were turning away from him, the ones that were blaspheming in his name and not doing the things that he told them to do, and the things that they wasn't really wanting to do. They were out there, you know, having other idols and other gods, just like a lot of people are doing today, you know, this whole green thing, the worshiping Mother Earth. And yes, that is what they're doing. They're worshiping Mother Earth. Okay? That's idolatry. And just like Israel, where their branches got cut off and we were grafted in, we too can be cut off. And in fact, it would be a whole lot faster and easier to cut us off because we're not at the natural tree. We can be cut off as well. Okay? So remember that. Now, this gets into that whole once saved, always saved garbage out there that people are spewing. So remember all this stuff, okay? It's important. The Israelites, okay, they were cut off. But the good word also says that in the end, they're going to be grafted back in. And so much faster so than they were to start there. And so, and that's what it tells us. You know, Paul said that. You know, matter of fact, in Romans 11, where he said, they'll be grafted back in. And also, one of the things that Paul mentions is don't go and get the big head because you're now the elect or the chosen. Okay? Don't think that you're better than anybody else. Don't think that, you know, don't have the big head. Don't, you know, don't look down on other people. Because then you can be cut off. You can be thrown into the fire. And ultimately what he's saying is, and this is why, this, what I'm fixing to say right here, is the biggest problem. I'm talking the absolute biggest problem that I have with pre-tribulations, is they automatically assume that they're better than everybody else. They presuppose themselves to be better than everybody else, whether they honestly think so or not. That's the whole concept, predisposes them as thinking they're better than everybody else, because they all speak of the left behind people, okay? I can assure you, when the rapture happens, there's only going to be two groups of people, those going to heaven and those going to hell. There ain't going to be no left behind. There's going to be two groups of people, period. Those going to heaven, they're going to get pulled up, and those is going to hell, that's going to be left behind. Okay? That's it. There ain't no tribulation saints, okay? You can't ride the fence on this stuff. It's black and white, right and wrong. That's all there is. You can't ride the fence on all this stuff. And with the Bible, you definitely can't ride the fence, okay? You either got to have faith and know something, or not have faith and know something else, okay? But you can't ride the fence. That's where everybody wants to do these things. They want to ride the fence. And riding the fence is what Laodicea was doing. Remember, you know, the ones that got spewed out of Christ's mouth because they were lukewarm? That's called riding the fence, okay? You can't do this. That's why it's important that you build your faith now. Crucially important that you get out there and spread the word. And that's another thing that I have against these people that are saying, I mean, they're just spewing it out all over the place right now. You know, the rapture's going to happen in any second. Well, if they honestly believe that the rapture is going to be happening at any second, why are you out there on the street corner telling people to repent, to turn to God? If they honestly believe that, why aren't they doing that? They're not. All they're doing is, the rapture is in any second. You know, I'm packing my bags for after this. I need to be on the street corner telling everybody, you know, that's fine if you believe the rapture is going to be in any second, because for you it very well may be, okay? But you need to be out on the street corner yelling and screaming from the top of the rooftops, saying that you need to be repenting. Not that the rapture is going to be in any second. You need to be, the time is short, okay? That's what you need to be saying. Time is short. You need to repent. You need to get yourself right, okay? That's the message that needs to be going across. Not that the rapture is going to be any second, okay? They got their whole priorities mixed up here. And it's just that whole group of people that believe in a preacher of rapture. I'm not going to say that there is not a preacher of rapture. I personally don't believe so. You know? That's why I, for one, have the mindset of, again, hope for the best and plan for the worst. I don't think so, but I have myself ready for it to happen at any. And that's what we all should do, because you don't know when the good Lord's going to come from you. You know? You may be walking out the door and lightning strike. You know? Who knows? He can come for you at any second. That's why you have to have yourself right. But to go out there and be telling people that the rapture is going to happen at any second, that's false in my opinion. They don't be doing that. Tell them that they need to be repenting because God could come for them at any minute. That's a more accurate statement. Okay? And yes, we are at the end. There's absolutely no doubt we're at the end. Whether that end is, you know, 5 years or 7 years or 10 years, who knows? Okay? But with the thing that just happened just here recently, we can see how fast things can change overnight. Okay? We can see how fast things literally can change overnight. We can see how fast the whole world can become in lockstep with each other, even with something that is absolutely bogus and a lie, which is what happened, just recently happened. Okay? We can see that. And we need, really and truthfully, we need to get ourselves right. We need to understand what the Bible truly says. We need to understand that there is no secret rapture, okay? The Bible plainly states that, okay? Christ comes twice, okay? The Bible plainly states that. First time he comes on the cloud, he's sitting on his throne. It literally says that. They don't use the throne, but it says he's sitting on a cloud. And as he's a king, I'm assuming that he's going to be sitting on his throne on the cloud, okay? The second time, he comes riding a horse, okay? One is the rapture. The next one is whenever he wipes out all the bad things in the world. They are forgiven. Plainly state that, though. Plainly. Once in the clouds, everybody can see him, all the shining glory of him, okay? Which happens after the sun, moon, and stars are darkened. Which, by the way, just enhances the fact that he's going to be brilliantly lit. Every eye shall see. Every eye shall see. Plainly states that multiple times. Every eye shall see. Every knee shall bow. Okay? And that's why all these people were asking for the mountains to fall on top of them and stuff. And all the kings and stuff. Okay? Every eye shall see. So that don't sound like a preacher of rapture to me, but who am I to say? All right. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. I put a lot of stuff out there that people that I want y'all to think about and start putting some of these pieces of the puzzle together in your own mind, okay? Everything you need is right here in this book, okay? This is an owner's manual. That's what this is. This is an owner's manual. You take it and use it as an owner's manual. You'll be amazed at all the different little things that you can fix out of this owner's manual. And you can see, unlike any other owner's manual from any other religion in the world, this owner's manual is like 65% prophecy. It's about 80 to 90% of it has absolutely already been documented fact that actually happened. It's just exactly what it said it was going. Okay. There's still a few things that have to happen. Some of them are happening as we speak right now. Some of them are happening that we don't know that are happening right now. Because some of this stuff will be almost like hindsight 2020 type stuff. You won't actually know that it's happening because it's, you know, we're kind of living with like this, the proverbial frog in the boiling water type situation. Yeah. So just pay attention to what's going on. And please, 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 with all this garbage that's been spewed over the news media and over the internet, take it with a grain of salt. Use discernment on it. And if you have any doubt about anything, refer back to your owner's manual. And it will tell you exactly what's going on. I promise you will. It's in there somewhere. Every little thing that's happening is in there. The biggest thing that you need to do is you need to get on top of the rooftops and start spreading the word. Okay? That is our command. That's what Tony was talking about, the commands that Jesus gave us. That is one of the commands that he gave us. Matter of fact, it was the last command that he gave us. Go out and spread the word. There was no, you know, hey, if you don't mind, can you go out there and do this if you get the time? That wasn't how he said it. He blatantly said, go out and do it. Okay? So go out and spread the word. Study the word. Everybody you talk to, you need to be mentioning, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? And trust me, you're gonna have some fallback. I promise you, you will. But that's just part of it. All right. We'll go ahead and close there. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the things that you've given us. Father, we pray for all the people that are being killed over us in this conflict over Israel. And we pray for both the people in Israel, both the Palestinians and the Israelites. Well, it's contrary to what the body says, there's good people on both sides. So is it on both sides of that that you will get your word spread and start bringing all these people to your home? We pray, Lord, for all the little babies that are being killed. We pray that you can move them. For the martyrs in your word, for the children in the strength and the faith. People that's on our prayer list, Father, we pray that you would do it now and do it more than we can. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Tony will be back with you tonight at 6. Everybody have a very blessed day, and we'll see y'all then. Bye-bye.